Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and this is Kevin Smith. Tonight, I think it's time for us to really sort of address together a really very, very important issue, a very critical issue, something that's taking place within the UFO slash paranormal community. Before we do that, let me ask you a question. I was listening to a story. I'll come back to that. I was listening to a story being talked about, an event being talked about. It happened in California. I was listening to that on the radio just before the show. And it is a situation in which it happens that I know some of the facts of that situation. And I was listening to these guys on the radio doing the rock star syndrome, which is faster, higher, louder, faster, higher, louder, faster, higher, louder, faster. And after a while, you can't go any faster, you can't go any higher, you can't go any louder. And they were taking something and just blowing this thing up to proportions that were, I mean, you would have thought the earth is coming to an end. Oh, my God. They weren't talking about anything in our genre, but that's how they were dealing with this event. And unfortunately, that's the way news media do today. And the fact is, what they were saying on the air made for good radio and was untrue. That's the point. So that's the big problem, isn't it? That's the big problem when you want someone else, you want their brain to do the thinking for you and just give you the truth. Well, you're putting a whole lot of trust in that person. First, you're putting a lot of trust in their ability to even spot the truth. Secondly, you're putting a lot of trust in them to have altruistic motives in reporting what they're reporting, that they just want to get the truth out. They'll all tell you that. They will all tell you they just want to get the truth out to the people the world has got to know. Regardless of what kind of story we're talking about, that's what the news media will tell you. But they will also stand inside a fenced-in area and shoot with their cameras through that fence. They are the ones fenced in. They shoot through the fence at a bunch of refugees and say they're in a concentration camp. That happened. And those people won, at least one of them, won a Pulitzer Prize for lying. They knew they were lying, and that went all over the world. They did it, and it's well documented they did it. And that's not just one instance. That happens all the time. You know, if you go through a day watching the news all through the day, and you hear one thing in there that is absolutely the truth, you are very, very lucky. So if you're wanting someone else to do your thinking for you and to just bring you the finished product and just tell you what the truth is, well, you're intellectually lazy. You're being intellectually dishonest if you then later say that you have your own opinions and you form your own opinions. That's just not true. But you're also putting a lot of faith in the person who's telling you something. You're putting a lot of faith in them that what they're telling you is accurate. Now, I'm going to show you some examples tonight of why you really shouldn't do that. But these are also examples of something else. These are examples of how the UFO paranormal community throughout the United States and probably throughout the world is being decimated from outside and inside. Yeah, inside. Now, it's being decimated from the outside and the inside by fake facts. Fake facts get put into play. In other words, they aren't facts. They are lies, and they get put into play as though they are facts. That happens generally from within our own ranks. And then the debunkers out there on the outside are just standing out there, you know, just salivating and can't wait for this to happen, because they know they can debunk those fake facts. And when they do debunk the fake facts, having never been a part of the UFO paranormal community, they have saved the world from gullibility. So they destroy the fake facts. It's a case of set them up, someone on the inside setting it up, and then people on the outside knocking them down. That's what's going on. And then those on the outside, the debunkers and the so-called mainstreamers, once they knock the fake facts down, what they do is they use that to discredit all the other real facts and to ridicule anybody that would even think of considering those. Well, look at this. Are you stupid enough to consider that? That's how this game is played. Now, we've talked about this before. I have never approached this in the way that I'm going to approach it tonight, because I'm going to start off inside our ranks. Within the ranks of the UFO community particularly, and to some extent the paranormal community, there are disinformation agents, paid agents, paid by the various intelligence services of this country. Their job is to create a lot of dissension and mistrust inside. Now, I will tell you, one of the biggest ploys that they will use is to accuse everybody else of being what they are. When someone begins to expose what they are doing, they accuse that person of being, you're one of the Illuminati, you're one of the disinformation agents. That's what they do. They will accuse others of being what they are, to deflect attention away from the fact that that's what they are. Now, there's not a single top-tier radio host in our genre that has not been accused at some point or another of being bought out, of being a disinformation agent. I hear it about George Norrie. I have heard it about Jerry Pippin. I have heard it about Jeff Rentz. I have heard it about Kevin Smith. And, you know, I even heard it about Art Bell. Look, the number one thing that a disinformation agent relies upon is darkness. You not seeing what they are doing. You not being awake and aware of what they're doing. And one of the best ways they can do it is to start accusing everybody else of being what they are. So, I'm not going to accuse anybody tonight of being a disinformation agent. But you don't even have to be a disinformation agent to be a disinformer. You can actually work for the other side and never know it. Well, you probably suspect you're helping them. But you can actually be working for these disinformation operations unofficially, unappointed, unattached, but you're doing something that is right in line with what they want you to do. The number one thing that I see happening, the top thing that I see happening in our genre, that is very disturbing, is a flood of hoaxed videos, hoaxed photos, hoaxed UFO reports, and basically hoaxed articles and blogs that provide fake facts. They tell you that something is true, and you know, they know that a great many people are going to read it and spot it as being untrue. They know that. Doesn't bother them, because what they know and what they're counting on is that there will be a very large number of mushrooms that read it and buy it. So tonight, I'm going to give you I'm going to start out from inside our own ranks. I'm going to start out inside the UFO community. And I'm going to show you exactly what I'm talking about. Again, I'm not going to call anybody a disinformation agent of the government. I don't know. But I am going to call a spade a spade. And if they have used their name, so shall I. Fair enough, isn't it? I use my name. My name is attached to everything I say here on the air. There's not anything I say on the air that I can go back and say, I never said that. If I say it, I said it. Sometimes I don't remember having said something precisely the way somebody quotes me. But, you know, it's on record. They're all recorded. And if I said it, I said it. My name's attached to it, and there's nothing I can do about that. That's just how it is. Well, when you publish an article and you put your name on it, the same is true. Now, I'm not going to single this person out for special treatment here. I have to pick somebody to use what they write and show you how this works. I have to pick somebody, but I'm not singling this person out and saying this is the only person doing this. This is not the only person doing this. And the only sense in which this person is singled out is I had to pick somebody. And this person is a rather prolific writer, writes a lot. A lot of the articles are published. You've read them. And what happens is the mushrooms pick them up, and, you know, mushrooms read it. They pick it up, and the sky is falling. Oh, my God. The sky is falling. And so they go running off to their favorite forums, and they post this information in their forums. And they go running off to their computer because they do a blog, and so they write it up in their blog. And this stuff just spreads and spreads and spreads. It's a bit like manure, except manure doesn't tend to grow. I mean, once it's on the ground, it's on the ground. But this stuff, when it hits the ground, it grows. But it's very akin to manure in that it's completely non-nutritional. It's not healthy for us, and it stinks. So whenever I start dealing with what we're going to deal with, which I'll do on the other side of this break, when I start dealing with this article, I'll name the name of the author, the writer, because his name is on it. He put his name on it. He wanted to be public. He's public. But I'm not singling that individual out. He's not the only one. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is by far, this is not the only article that does what I'm going to show you here tonight. It does damage to true, genuine UFO investigation and research. I think it's time for us to look at it. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you tuning in late, let me remind you, if you didn't know, and if you can't hear it already in my voice, I am fighting a cold from hell. So if I have to pause and cough, turn the mic off, just accept my apology now for that, and then we'll just move on, all right? So what are we talking about here with these attacks coming from the inside? Attacks using fake facts. A fake fact is when you assert something as though it is true when it is not true. It's also called a lie. But it's not just a lie. It's above that. It's more insidious. Because you're putting it into play as though it is a fact. And then whether or not the writer is actually working as a disinformation agent, you know, getting paid from the government to lie to you like that, whether or not that's the case, the effect is still the same. The effect is it gives those who are trying to destroy the UFO community out there on the outside, the disinformation guys out there, it gives them an easy target to knock down. And so you have the writer or the speaker who sets it up, whether he's intentionally doing it as part of a black ops against the UFO community or not, doesn't matter at this point. He sets it up, they knock it down, and then they use that to dismiss all the real facts that are coming in and to ridicule it, and they'll say things like, "Oh, come on, you don't believe that, do you? I guess you also believe this nonsense over here." And then they focus on it, you see. And they ridicule people down and get them to shut up. That's part of the way they do it. Now, there is a publication that's out there on the internet. A lot of people, just when I say the name of this publication, they immediately say, "Oh, my God, I can't." Nobody takes that seriously. You're wrong. A lot of people do take it seriously. It's called the Weekly World News. Now, the Weekly World News has a number of people that write for it. One of the names that you'll find on articles as the author of the article is Frank Lake. Frank Lake, L-A-K-E. Don't know Frank, haven't spoken to Frank. Maybe a fine individual. I don't know. Frank writes some pretty alarming stories. He writes some stories that, if they were true, would be very alarming. I want to take one of these stories and show you. Now, see, he's writing about UFOs. He's writing about extraterrestrials. He's reporting on it as though he is kind of on the side of getting the truth out. As a matter of fact, I want to read you the statement that is at the end of his article. Now, this is just a statement that's put there by Weekly World News. It says, "Note, WWN, that's Weekly World News, is one of the only major news organizations reporting on the ongoing alien invasion and the forthcoming alien attack. As soon as we post articles, speeches, reports, and other," and it has in quotes, "official announcements are scrubbed from the internet. There is a massive global cover-up to prevent worldwide hysteria. Weekly World News is not trying to alarm its readers, merely trying to report the facts." Okay, let's do a little fact check. I hold in my hot little hands here an article that, once it was published, went like wildfire. You say nobody pays any attention to it. Man, it's in blogs, it's in forums, it's referenced here, there, yonder, everywhere on the internet within the UFO community. And starts out this way. Moscow. Russia has built the first alien defense system to deal with the alien attack underway. I'm going to read the first line of the next paragraph. Vladimir Putin proudly told reporters in Moscow that Russia was better prepared for the alien attack, which began in late November of 2011, than any other country on Earth. What's wrong with that? There's a great deal more wrong with this article. But what's wrong with that? Vladimir Putin, of course you know who that is, proudly told reporters in Moscow that Russia was better prepared, proudly told reporters in Moscow when. You see, one of the things that you look for is the ability to nail down dates and times. It's not the only thing you look for, but it's very, very important. When you're trying to determine whether a report is true or not true, you try to nail down the dates and the times. You may not be able to get it exactly. Many of you listening to me tonight, you are UFO investigators, and you know that when someone files a report and you go out there to do your investigation, one of the things you want to nail down is the date and the time, right? You ask them, when did this happen? And maybe they can't remember the exact date. They say, it was like the week before Christmas, and I'm thinking it was probably, Wednesday, Thursday before Christmas. Okay, that's not precise, but it's at least nailing it down to, you're pegging it to some point in time. And then you'll ask, and what time of day was it? Oh, it was 8:30 at night. I know because I get off work at 8, it takes me 30 minutes to drive home, and I was just pulling up in the driveway when I saw it. Okay, so now we have a time frame to work with. And now we can begin to sort of corroborate parts of the testimony. And we can ask around and see if we can find other witnesses that were out and perhaps saw this at that date and time. Whenever someone is telling you a true report, they're going to tell you the date and the time. If this had been in real major media, it would have read something like, Vladimir Putin proudly told reporters in a press conference in Moscow on Thursday that Russia was better. That's the way they do it. So we know right up front, right at the beginning of this article, Houston, we've got problems. All right, now I'm going to skip down, and I'm going to, look, this article talks about Russia having built a defense system against alien attack. And Vladimir Putin is in this article bragging about it, and he said, you know, we're the only ones that have it. Okay, well, listen to this. Now, this, I'm going to skip down, and I'm going to read a paragraph in this article that is in quotes because it's being attributed to someone. Here is the paragraph. There is an ongoing alien invasion that started in October 2010 that will continue to December 2015. But we have confirmed that three massive attack ships from planet Gotan, that's G-O-O-T-A-N, approached Earth at a rapid speed and have landed in China and Indonesia. End quote. Said NASA astrophysicist Thomas Hillstrom. Okay, well, first of all, have you ever heard of Gotan? I haven't either. That doesn't mean it does not exist. So, with the help of a good friend and the owner of one of the radio stations that carries our show, we worked on tracking down as much of this story as we could today, because I wanted to be able to give you as many facts as I can. Real facts. Gotan, planet Gotan. We have determined, we have confirmed that three massive attack ships from planet Gotan. So far as the internet is aware, there is no planet Gotan. However, if you just stick Gotan, G-O-O-T-A-N, in the search engine, just Google Gutan. You will eventually find that if you separate it into two words, goo and tan, they do have something to do with NASA. They are part of some computer code at NASA. Looks like some sort of mathematical stuff. Presumably, tan, T-A-N, is referring to tangent. Got no idea at all what goo refers to. But they are used in a computer program as part of a mathematical equation. But there's no planet Gutan. Okay, also notice that he doesn't say when these attack ships approach the Earth. Notice that he simply says, we have confirmed that three massive attack ships from planet Gutan approached the Earth at a rapid speed and have landed in China and Indonesia. Yeah? When? You've confirmed it? When? When were they approaching the Earth? When did they land? And since we've confirmed that they have land, how about where? I mean, I know China and Indonesia. Indonesia is, you know, like, 1,700 islands. And China, man, China's so big it's half the planet. That's a hyperbole for those of you who wish to write me later and tell me that's silly. It's gigantic. So, we now have some more problems, don't we? So I'm looking at this article. I'm seeing, first of all, it doesn't tell us when Vladimir Putin said what he is alleged to have said here. And then it tells us we have three massive attack ships that have landed in China and Indonesia, but it doesn't tell us when or where in those countries. Certainly it doesn't tell us when. So now we got two problems. They are from the planet Gutan, G-O-O-T-A-N, and said planet does not apparently exist. Now, is it possible that I overlooked a planet somewhere in the universe? Yeah, I'd say it's possible. But so far as we were able to determine today, there is no planet Gutan. But then you read this and your mind does backflips and you say, that can't possibly be true. But then they attribute that statement to NASA astrophysicist Thomas Hillstrom. Well, I decided to see what Thomas Hillstrom had to say about this. And so what I did was with the aid of my friend that I told you about, what I did is I began to track down, to the best of my ability, Thomas Hillstrom. All right? Now, this article says that Thomas Hillstrom is a NASA astrophysicist. Is he? All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, and we're talking about this article, and we're taking a look at false facts. I've pointed out some of them, but we went away for break, and I asked the question, what about this NASA astrophysicist Thomas Hillstrom? Well, I can tell you that at least according to the information we looked at, and this is not is a hard information to get to, totally legally gotten to, okay? There is no Thomas Hillstrom that works for NASA. I can't find that there ever was. There is no Thomas Hillstrom that is a contractor for NASA either. So we're looking at an article here that's just bogus. Now, there was an interesting little twist to this, because when we determined that Thomas Hillstrom doesn't work for NASA, apparently never has, and is not a contractor for NASA, then, and that's, look, if information comes up later that shows that I'm wrong about this, I'll come right back here and tell you I was wrong. But based on the research that we have done, this is where it stands right now. There is no Thomas Hillstrom working for NASA, and apparently there never has been. And no Thomas Hillstrom that is a contractor for NASA either. All right, so after we determined that, we started thinking, and well, okay, it says he's an astrophysicist, right? So let's see what we can find about any astrophysicist by the name of Thomas Hillstrom. You can do this yourself. If you Google Thomas Hillstrom, here's what you're going to find out. You're going to find there are a number of articles that reference him, and almost all of them are written by Frank Lake. And almost all of them are published in the Weekly World News. Or it's someone who has quoted that somebody that quoted one of these Frank Lake articles in their blog or in somebody's forum somewhere. But there is apparently no Thomas Hillstrom that ever has worked for NASA. And yet this says he's a NASA astrophysicist. If you take a look at all those articles, you're going to find that Frank Lake quotes Thomas Hillstrom in a number of his articles. However, in one article, in this one he says he's a NASA astrophysicist. In another article, he refers to him as a NASA director. In another article, he refers to him as the genetic engineer at NASA. So he quotes this Thomas Hillstrom frequently in his articles. He gives him a new title every time, but he's always associated with NASA. He gets a new title in virtually every article. Well, in every article I looked at, he's got a new title. And by the way, a genetic engineer and an astrophysicist are probably, I mean, you know, you could be an astrophysicist and then next year you could be a director. Or you could be a genetic engineer and next year you could be a director. You could get promoted. But an astrophysicist is not likely to also be a genetic engineer. Pretty suspicious. However, doing very, very thorough searching, we found, and you would think, I mean, look, first of all, this is huge news if it's true, right? Russia has set up an alien defense system because we are under attack, and we have been under attack since November of 2011. That's what the article alleges. That's big news, right? And they quote a NASA guy. In this one, he's an astrophysicist. That should be all over the internet. And not only that, Thomas Hillstrom should be all over the internet. Now, this is all over the internet in the spurious forms that I have described, but I'm talking about mainstream media should have picked this up. This should have been just wild all over the internet from mainstream media, if it's true. And as an astrophysicist for NASA, we certainly ought to, and who's out there speaking and giving statements like what I read to you, we certainly ought to be able to find something about an astrophysicist named Thomas Hillstrom, right? Well, you say if you can. We found one reference to an abstract that was submitted to an astrophysics conference by Thomas Hillstrom. One. Well, we didn't find the abstract. We found a listing that he had submitted. Someone using that name had submitted an abstract. So I'm thinking, okay, well, that's something. And all it told us was the name and the city that he was from. So we started digging to find Thomas Hillstrom in that city. And bingo, we did. We found one Thomas Hillstrom in that city. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, this ought to be good. Found the telephone number for Thomas Hillstrom, and I called him today. I talked with him on the telephone personally today. I told him who I was. I said, I know you've never heard of me, but I do a talk show, and I am interested in talking with you about a paper that you submitted to this conference about astrophysics. And he told me he didn't know, he told me that he was indeed Thomas Hillstrom. He said he didn't know anything about that paper. He didn't know what I was talking about. And I said, well, are you an astrophysicist? He said, no, I'm not. So that's kind of an interesting twist to this. Because he is the only Thomas Hillstrom that we could find in that city. And that's the city they said that he, the conference listed his abstract, listed his name, and what city he was from. They said he was from that city. So I don't know what all that means, but I can tell you that the Thomas Hillstrom, the only one it could possibly be, in my opinion, said he didn't know what we were talking about and that he was not an astrophysicist. And indeed, I found out the name of his company, and he is an active director of that company, or an active officer of that company. And it has nothing to do with astrophysics. So, you make of that what you will. But I can tell you, if you go searching and you look as thoroughly as we look today, you'll come away saying, there's no Thomas Hillstrom at NASA. Apparently never has been, and there is no Thomas Hillstrom who is a contractor for NASA. So, what do we have in this article? Well, we have a big red flag that jumps up because right at the beginning he tells us that Vladimir Putin proudly told reporters in Moscow, and he doesn't tell us when. Why? Well, if he tells us when, we can check and see what was going on in Moscow and in Vladimir Putin's schedule that day. And then he tells us that we have confirmed, this is an alleged quote from Thomas Hillstrom, we have confirmed that three massive attack ships from planet Gutan approached the Earth at a rapid speed and have landed. When? Again, he doesn't tell us. And he says that these are from planet Gutan. Will you find Gutan? I challenge you to find Gutan. If you do, you call me or send me an email and educate me. I don't think you're going to find it, at least not in this universe, because it doesn't exist. But in your search, you will find those two words, Gu and Tan, are in some NASA code. Now, right at the end of the article, right at the end, they are doing some backfilling. I read it to you already. It's a note at the end. And what they're doing is some backfilling to try and explain to you why you can't corroborate any of that. Just in case somebody like me comes along, this is supposed to cover it, and it's the backfill, and that takes care of why you can't corroborate any of this. Horse feathers. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, entitled tonight, Just the Facts, Ma'am. Remember Dragnet? Dragnet, the TV detective series that was on television years and years and years ago. Remember that? Sergeant Joe Friday. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Well, that's what we're trying to get to here. And I'm giving you the facts about a ridiculous article that is put out within our genre, from within the ranks of our communities, our UFO paranormal communities. And unfortunately, what happens is this kind of nonsense gets posted on forums. It gets posted on blogs. People are discussing it. You'd be surprised how many times I get emails that reference some kind of article like this, and they'll say, well, you know, the Russians have that alien defense system and blah, blah, blah. Are other things, you know, that are just as nonsensical. And this is nonsense. It's worse than nonsense. This is, in my opinion, complete fabrication. But right at the end of the article, they have this note. I read it to you. It says, a Weekly World News, WWN, is one of the only. Now, that's a kind of a clue, isn't it? You can't be one of the only. You're either the only or you're one of the few. They're one of the only major news organizations reporting on the ongoing alien invasion, blah, 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 blah. But listen to this. As soon as we post articles, speeches, reports, and other official announcements are scrubbed from the internet. So they're trying to backfill. They're trying to cover why you're not going to be able to corroborate their story that they've just published. Now look, some of this stuff does disappear from the internet. It has happened where I've reported on something right here on the show, and before the show was over, it's disappeared from the internet. That stuff does happen. But folks, it doesn't happen to every story. And that's what this claims. As soon as we post articles, speeches, reports, and other official announcements are scrubbed from the internet. That's not true. Now, does it happen? Yes, in certain selected cases. Those of you who have been listening to the show since way back when I was doing the show from Kosovo, when I first started the show, you remember a show I did on the U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command. And all I reported to you was what was on their website. And it had a list of U.S. Army astronauts. It had a list of their commanding, it had a picture of their commanding officer. And these were not NASA astronauts, these were U.S. Army astronauts. And that was on their website. Well, I dare you to find that information on that website now. Yeah, it happens. It does disappear, but not for every single story. And so, you know, this kind of stuff is very, very harmful. It proliferates. It's all over the place within our genre on the internet. But I'll tell you something. It's not just that it is permeating forums and blogs and stuff. It's not just that. I don't know if Frank Lake is a disinformation agent being paid by the government. I suspect he's probably not. But he may as well be, because this plays right into the hands of the disinformation operatives who want to play the game, set them up, we'll knock them down. Now, I've knocked it down, and I'm standing here on the inside of this genre. I've knocked it down, I think, rather definitively. In my opinion, it's my opinion, but in my opinion, based on the research I've done to look into this article, this is a complete and total fabrication. That's my opinion. If it is not a complete and total fabrication, it is certainly completely untrue. So if Mr. Lake thinks he was reporting the real facts, okay, I'll give him that. If he thinks that's the real facts for whatever reason, I'll give him that leeway. But I'll tell you this. These are not facts. what's in this article is bogus from start to finish. And as I said, I don't know. There's no way I can know whether Mr. Lake is a paid disinformer, but he may as well be. He may as well be on the other team, because writing stuff like this, and look, you go read the articles, they're all like this. And writing stuff like this and putting it out there and having it go all over the internet like it does, this is set them up so it can be knocked down. Meanwhile, there are real facts. And the real facts get shoved to the side. The real facts, I mean, really important stuff happening, the real facts get shoved to the side because of stuff like this article. So, then someone comes along with some real facts, and the knock 'em down side, the debunker side, says, "Oh, you got to be kidding me! Now, come on. I mean, I guess you probably believe that Planet Gutan stuff too, huh? See, they use it to ridicule as a smokescreen to get past the real facts. Let's talk about some real facts. There is a real scientist." And as I stated to you, this, what was his name? Hillstrom. Thomas Hillstrom is not a NASA astrophysicist. And as far as we can find out, he doesn't work at NASA doing anything, even sweeping the floors. As far as we can find out, there is no Thomas Hillstrom working at NASA, nor has there been. So, again, if you find differently, you send me that information, and I'll come back here and sit right here in front of this microphone, in front of that camera, and I will apologize to Thomas Hillstrom and to Mr. Lake. And I will say my information was in error, because I don't want my information to be in error. But I think that's a bogus article, and I think we've pretty well nailed down that it is. But there's a real scientist, and I'm not even sure I'll be able to say his name. The first name I can say is Leonid. The last name, Ksenfomalyty. He's Russian. He is real. He does exist. And the real NASA has responded to something that he has recently said publicly. What did he say? Well, you know, Russia has a heck of a time when they try to put a satellite or a spacecraft out there that's going to Mars. Man, they blow up on the launch pad, or they get out there in space and go haywire and get lost, or like this last one, they just go haywire and fall back to Earth. They've had very slim success in getting to Mars. But they have been to Venus. They have landed spacecraft on Venus. Unmanned, but that is a huge accomplishment. They have actually landed on the surface of Venus. They have taken pictures all the way down as they were landing the spacecraft. They have taken pictures setting on the surface of Venus, just like those pictures we have, you know, from the rover on Mars. It's setting on the surface of Mars, and we get those pictures back. Well, there are pictures like that from Venus. And they're Russian. Well, this Russian scientist, and this is being reported pretty much around the internet, but the one I'm reading, the report I'm reading, is from the Daily Caller, and they are quoting or talking about a report in the Indo-Asian News Service, which is a true, legitimate news service. Now listen to this. Listen to the difference. In the article that Mr. Lake wrote, Vladimir Putin proudly told reporters in Moscow that Russia was better prepared for the alien attack. Doesn't tell us when. All right, listen to this one. The Indo-Asian News Service reported Saturday, you see, that's how they do it, that a Russian scientist has published what he claims is evidence of life on Venus, Earth's nearest neighbor in the direction of the sun. All right, now, I like what he says. He says, well, what if we forget about the current theories about the non-existence of life on Venus? Let's boldly suggest that the object's morphological features would allow us to say that they are living. Now, he's talking about some things that showed up in the photographs taken by their spacecraft that landed on Venus. And he says, forget about the theories that say there is no life, and just take a look at the morphological evidence. Take a look at the shape, and take a look at the movement of these objects from one picture to the next. And he said, let's boldly suggest that the object's morphological features would allow us to say that they are living. Now, it's a great article, and there are other articles that have even more information than this. This is kind of a summary. But this pretty much rocked the scientific world. And so he's saying, this Leonid Kasenfamaliti from Russia is saying that as far as he's concerned, he has found evidence of life on Venus in the pictures that the Russian spacecraft took when it landed on Venus. Now, this was a long time ago, decades back, when it landed and took these pictures. All right. Now, I hold in my hot little hands another article. This article has this headline: NASA debunks life on Venus claim. So you think, oh, okay, well, NASA's going to give us some kind of real evidence here for why this guy is wrong. That's what the headline reads: NASA debunks life on Venus claim. When you read this article, here is what you find. They say, one of the things that he talks about seeing in these pictures is a disc-shaped object that moves. Not flying, but it's on the ground. It's circular, and it moves. Okay, so NASA says that disc is, in fact, a lens cap that fell off the camera on their lander. Okay, well, now, see, that sounds like it could be plausible, doesn't it? I mean, you're landing on a planet where the atmospheric pressure is 92 times the atmospheric pressure we have here at the surface on Earth. The temperature is something like 864 degrees Fahrenheit. It seems reasonable that a lens cap might fall off as you land the spacecraft in some hostile conditions like that. Yeah, maybe. Okay. All right, so here is what the Russian scientist says that this spacecraft, the pictures from this spacecraft, show. And it's, by the way, the spacecraft is Venera 13. He said it shows several objects resembling a disc, a black flap, and a scorpion. All of them, he said, emerge, fluctuate, and disappear. So he's saying, whatever they are, they appear to be alive. Pretty exciting, isn't it? But NASA says that disc is a lens cap. But now listen to this. All right? You see, the UFO paranormal field. Now, we're not talking about something UFO or paranormal when we're talking about Venus, but we do talk about that within our field. And you know, I've talked about it. I wrote a book about it. And the book was Venus Watch the Other Hand. And so we talk about it, and I have said that there is evidence in the photographs, not just from the Russians, but from NASA as well. There is evidence in those photographs of very large artificial structures. And that book shows you the pictures, and you can it tells you where you can go find them, and you can go look them up yourself. But it shows them in the book. So it's pretty exciting. We in this community are all about saying, hey, come on, guys. Life doesn't have to look like us, and it doesn't have to live within the kind of environment that we live in order to be life. And so there could be life on all these planets that you say are inhospitable and cannot support life. Well, it can't support us, and it cannot support organisms like us. But neither can the bottom of the ocean. The bottom of our ocean, you can't live there. You can't live on 75% of this planet because it's ocean. It's water. You can't live there, but fish can. And even at the bottom of the ocean where you would think there could be no life because there's no oxygen, pressure's too intense, etc., etc., the temperatures are way too cold, there's life. It lives there. You can't. And so we say it could be on all the planets around us. Yeah? Well, then along comes this Russian scientist saying, yeah, I think you're right. I see signs of life there. NASA says, well, now, wait a minute. One of those things you see is a lens cap. So I'll give them that. Maybe it is. Bet it's not, but maybe it is. Now, listen to this. NASA photo analysts dismissed his claims. How? With evidence? Quote, it makes much more sense that it's a piece of the lander designed to break off during the deployment of one of the scientific instruments. And that's a quote from Jonathan Hill, a NASA mission planner who does work there. So that's the debunking. It just makes sense. It makes much more sense. Well, look, what is sense? It makes much more sense. That's nonsense. What is sense? It means you think it's reasonable, you think it's rational, but your notion of what's reasonable and your notion of what's rational only works and functions within the envelope of our little corner of space. You think it's reasonable and rational to eat termites? No, you don't, unless you happen to be aboriginal and you live in Australia, and then it's reasonable and rational, and they eat them. You don't think it's reasonable or rational because you don't live there. Your notion of what is reasonable and rational is entirely defined by where your butt sits. That's it. This tiny little cubicle of air and space and time, this little bubble that you live and work in, that defines for you what you think is reasonable and rational. And that's not any evidence whatsoever for what's real. Just because you think it's reasonable and rational, that doesn't mean it is. I've told you before, there are bats, you know, the little furry animals, with 6-foot wingspans. Not only have I seen them up close and personal, I've eaten them. I know they exist. But I can tell you for sure that I could go to 100 cities in the United States and say, you know, have you ever, what if I were to tell you that I saw a bat with a wingspan of 6 feet? I could go to 100 different cities and be laughed out of all of them. People don't think it's real. because it doesn't fit what's reasonable and rational in their little bubble of experience. And yet it is real. They do exist. And they don't taste too bad either. Taste a little bit like rat. Not too bad. So here we've got a headline saying NASA debunks life on Venus claim. And what we're told right up front is that the disk is a lens cap. But we're not told how they determine this. And the next thing we're told is that this other piece of something that he sees in the pictures, they say it makes much more sense that it's a piece of the lander designed to break off during landing or during the deployment of one of the scientific instruments. Makes much more sense. In whose bubble? That's not evidence. That's no evidence. And that is not debunking. That's stating an opposite opinion. That's not debunking. And what they're doing here is the same thing that I have said Frank Lake did in this other article. He manufactured facts, in my opinion. These are manufactured facts. They are fake facts. In the article about the Russians building an alien defense system, it's not real. And so now NASA comes along to, quote, debunk this scientist from Russia. And what do they give us? Something that isn't a fact, stated as if it's a fact. And then they put the headline up here, NASA debunks life on Venus claim. It's not a fact. You know, to say it makes much more sense that it's a piece of the lander. Now look, it may be a piece of the lander. That's not the issue here. The issue is the fake facts and beliefs. You see, what's happening with this one from NASA is we're hearing this guy's beliefs. Beliefs are what you use at the end of the data. And that's okay until you start thinking your beliefs are the data. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about just the facts, ma'am. Well, see, this is a statement of opinion that is made, or at least it's attributed to Jonathan Hill, a NASA mission planner. That's what's quoted in the Daily Mail. And they quote him, and he says, it makes much more sense that it's a piece of the lander. That's an opinion. This is not a fact, but it's being passed off as a fact that debunks the claim that the Russian scientist made. Fake facts, folks. Fake facts. And then experts also said that the so-called scorpion found by the Russian scientist is also just, and I'm quoting from the article, noise in the digital image. Well, noise in the digital image has become the new swamp gas, don't you know? It is the NASA version of Chinese wedding candles. Anything they don't want to address and they don't want to think about and they don't want to really do some work on, or at least tell you what it really is, they tell you it's noise in the digital image. Can I tell you something? Every single thing in a digital image is noise. That's why it's there. But some of it is organized noise so that it gives us the image of something that the camera was pointed at. But when they don't want to deal with it, they call it noise, or it's a trick of light bouncing around inside the camera lens. And sometimes that's true. But they take the sometimes where it is true and try to use it as a blanket to cover everything when it's not the case. Now, I'm not saying one way or the other about this stuff in these pictures from Venus. I will say that whether this Russian scientist is correct or not, I will say this. I scoured images from Venus and looked and looked and looked, and I found what I think you will agree appear to be artificial structures. Who built them? I don't know. Are they still living in them? I don't know. No idea. But geology did not do that stuff. At least, I don't think so. So, from on the inside of our UFO community and our paranormal community, we have people torpedoing real investigation and research into real phenomena by doing nonsense articles and producing hoax videos. And then, you know, when they get caught, you know what they say? I just did it as an experiment to show how gullible people are. No, you didn't. You did it because you're a weasel. That's why. You don't have... What have you proved if you prove people are gullible? We already know people are gullible. If people weren't gullible, do you think advertisers would spend money to advertise on TV and radio? They're advertising because you're gullible. They know that. You don't. What are you going to prove if you prove people are gullible? You haven't proven anything we didn't already know. And so when people do these hoaxes, whether it's video, audio, photographs, articles, when they do them, they're doing them because they are disreputable, lacking integrity, and they are weasels. In some cases, they may, in some cases, may actually be paid agents to do this stuff. But it has the effect of setting it up so the debunkers can knock it down and then use it to knock down interest in any kind of real investigation, real research into real facts and real phenomena. That's the game. And they play it pretty well. And you play right along with them. If you take something at face value, like this article about Vladimir Putin and the alien defense system, you take something like that at face value and you go run out there and just spread it all over the internet and make a big deal out of it, you know what happens? You've just played their game on their side. But you also play their game if you believe a headline without doing critical thinking about what's in the article. NASA debunks life on Venus claim. That says to me NASA is about to give us some real information here that says this scientist was wrong. They didn't. They gave us an opinion. Well, that's a lens cap. And that, well, it just makes more sense. That's something that broke off of this lander. It was designed to break off when they deployed one of their science experiments. It just makes more sense. Oh, and that, well, that's just digital noise. All of it, every bit of that, 100% of that, is opinion. How can opinion debunk stated facts? Now, his facts may be wrong. I'm not saying they're right, but he's making statements of fact. You have to come back with statements of fact that oppose what he said if you want to debunk it. So you play their game if you spread the BS. You play their game if you believe their headlines and don't analyze what they just said and decide whether those are statements of facts or whether they are, in fact, just opinions. And those are just opinions. Those are just opinions. That's all that is. All right, now, what can we do about this? Well, I'm going to open the phone lines here in just a moment, and you can call in with your suggestions of what you think we can do about all this. You know, one approach is the censorship approach. I don't think that's good. I believe in freedom of speech. But you see, your freedom of speech equals my freedom of speech, doesn't it? So if you get on the air here or you write an article, either like this NASA debunks life on Venus or like this one about Russia has built the first alien defense system, you do that, that you have the freedom of speech to do that. We have the freedom of speech, the rest of us, to state what we find when we analyze. That's the way that works. And this is how we come to the knowledge of the truth. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Mike, Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, that lens cap that they're talking about, if the pressure's so great, wouldn't that thing have just went to the ground and stayed there, couldn't move?
Well, you would think so. You know, I don't know. And I don't know, I don't know what I think about this. Except that, you know, first of all, I think it's shoddy and lacks integrity for them to try to pass this off as debunking. It's not. It's just their opinion.
Yes. But, you know, you would think that if it's 47 times the weight of pressure of Earth, rather, something as light as a lens cap would definitely just go to the ground and stay there. It couldn't move around.
Well, you would think so. I mean, that seems reasonable.
Unless you've got a 200-mile-an-hour wind
blowing. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems reasonable to me.
Thomas Hillstrom, how are you spelling his last name?
Hang on. I'll pull it up here.
Okay.
H-I-L-L-S-T-R-O-M.
Now, the question I have is would that lake... Frank Lake, would he actually give the guy's real name, or would that just be another fake name, a pseudonym?
Well, I don't know. Now, when they give someone a pseudonym, they usually say not his real name.
Yeah, but we're dealing with the World Weekly News.
Well, still, I mean, if you're going to report, there are certain things that you do to, if you have integrity, there are certain things you do to make it clear to people what you are doing. So if I was quoting Michael from Kentucky, and you didn't really, you wanted people to know what you said, but you didn't want them to know it was you because maybe you might get fired, I might have an agreement with you. Okay, I won't use your real name.
Right.
And so I put David, and in parentheses I put not his real name. I mean, that's
that's the way it's supposed to work.
Well, if you're going to have integrity.
About the integrity of the journalist.
Plus, with Mr. Lake, every time, and you go read all the articles where he quotes Hillstrom. There's a bunch of them, and you read those articles, and every single time Hillstrom is somebody else. He's a genetic engineer. He's an astrophysicist. He's a director. You know. He's something different every time.
You know, NASA is a big umbrella organization. Did you by any chance check with JPL?
100% of NASA's personnel.
Okay. I was trying to do some searching myself, but I wasn't sure exactly how you were spelling the name.
Yeah. So. Now, if you happen to find him... You be sure and let me know, and like I said, Mike, and you've heard me do it before, if I'm wrong, I'll come back on here and say, well, folks, I was wrong. Here's the deal. But I'll tell you something. I don't think you're going to find him. 100% of anybody that is affiliated with anything NASA and their contractors.
Right, right. And you know, I pass along emails, and my philosophy has always been, well, I don't know if this is true or not, I'll just pass along, let people decide for themselves.
And see, there's nothing wrong with that when
right.
whenever you say to people, don't know about this, but it's interesting. Okay, well, you know, we know you're not saying this is the truth. It's kind of like...
Right. In fact, I have done that. I have put it on several of my articles that I don't know this is true.
Yeah. It's kind of like the story of the Yugoslav space program, and we did two shows on that, where I said,
right.
I don't know if this is true, but if this is true, here's what it means. You know, okay, I don't know if it's true. And I said, you heard me say it, time will tell. We will find out eventually whether this is accurate information or not. But boy, it's hot information, and we can't sit on it. But you need to know, it could, you know, more information comes in, and as more information comes in, it could make this story just fall apart. You know, I said that. Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, at that point, everybody knows that we're not saying this is confirmed, this is a fact. We're just presenting the information in its raw form, and that's okay, as long as you let people know that's what you're doing.
Sure. And I did the research. I mean, I went over there and looked, and I saw the underground, you know, Air Force base and all of this. But all you see really is just the hangars where they're parking them. They don't let you go into the side tunnels that they have under there, so you can see if they're building them there or what, or if they're building space machinery there. All you see is the tunnels for the hangars.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach. And on the telephone with me is Mike. Mike, does that wrap it up for you, or did you have another comment?
Yes, I think that's enough. I didn't really intend to get in here and hog it, because there's others that want to call.
All right, thanks for the call, Mike.
Okay, Kevin, bye.
All right, bye. All right, 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
You asked what we should do about, what can we do about this? Well, the only thing people could do is to not believe everything you read on the internet, and don't be a mushroom.
I agree with you. In fact, I advocate don't believe anything. Analyze it, and if you analyze it, like I did with these articles tonight, you'll come up with those same conclusions. Like, hey, you know what? That's just somebody's opinion. There's no fact stated here. Or, okay, where is this Thomas Hillstrom? Who is he? And you start looking for him. You can't find him. Okay, well, this is probably a bogus story. And, you know, I read all day. And I read lots of articles. And I read forums. I read blogs. I read news stories. And I got to tell you, only about, this is not an accurate or scientific number, but maybe 10% of those turn out to be factual.
For all the people out there that are listening, you just have to be careful what you read, because the person that is posting the story might be trying to trick you, or... You never know what you're coming across. So, I mean, there's a lot of the internet is full of, this isn't the only article out there, but all you can do is don't believe everything you read on the internet. I don't know what else we can do, Kevin, besides just not being a mushroom.
I agree.
I want to be a mushroom.
I agree. Mind's in gear. Thanks, Ryan.
Okay.
All right. 623-444-5889. We have time for... one, maybe two more calls. What do you think about all of this? Look, this is being done to us from within as well as without. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
And I'm glad to be able to address this. I think it's no accident that the Roswell incident occurred in 1947, the same year the CIA was born. The CIA, of course, has been a valuable agency to the United States, I suppose, in a lot of ways, but they also engage in a lot of psychological warfare. And that psychological warfare is clearly directed against the American people in a lot of ways. For example, all the major news media, the mainstream media, are owned by five different people. And when those boards meet, the boards of directors of the different mainstream media, there is always a CIA representative present at all those board meetings. You know, so the kind of news that gets put out or the kind of news that gets withheld is directed by one of our intelligence agencies.
Well, that sounds a whole lot like the days of the KGB over in the Soviet Union, doesn't it?
Yeah, very much. Mm-hmm. Very much the same. And, you know, there are two different ways that they can cloud an issue. They can either flood the airwaves, flood people's senses with all kinds of misinformation and disinformation, or they can do a total media blackout. They can go the other way and just not even bring it up so that people think there's no truth in it or no weight behind it. You know, they can use either of those things. But what I would suggest that people do to arm themselves against misinformation and disinformation is to study for themselves the subjects of grammar and rhetoric. If you study grammar and rhetoric, you learn about how people use language to convey whatever they want to convey. You know, and the people who control the language generally control the argument, they control the airwaves, and they will control what you believe or don't believe. So if we study their language, you know, figure out, now, what did they just say? You know, did they really address the issue, or did they dance all around it and make you feel, you know, just spun a web? Or spread a fog in front of you, and you're sitting there gate-mouthed wondering, what did they just say? Mm-hmm. I guess it was okay. They used enough words.
Yeah.
But we have to educate ourselves on the language, and that's my answer to it, Kevin.
And I think you're right. Steve, thanks for the call. Yeah, I think you're right. He who masters a language masters those who speak the language, don't you know? What do they say when a guy gets elected president? He's such a great orator. You know, very seldom does someone win an election, whether for president or anything else, if they're not a great orator. Sometimes they do, but generally, if they're not a great orator, they don't win it. Why? Because he who masters the language masters those who speak the language. Okay, well, I wish we had more time. It just took a long time to get all of that information to you, and we're out of time for calls, but I want to thank those of you who did call. I'd like to hear from you, and you know, if you want to be in touch with me, you can. It's as easy as clicking on contact on my website. Just click on that. It's going to take you to the contact page. You want to comment about a show? Click on listener comment. You want to make a suggestion for a show? Click on suggestion. It's that easy, really. And I'd love to hear from you, especially if I've never heard from you. Well, that's not exactly right. I love hearing from people that I haven't heard from in a while. I heard from one today and in an email that I haven't heard from in a while. It happens to be one of our listeners that I have met personally. As a matter of fact, I think we had breakfast together. Yeah, we did. It was breakfast and got to meet his family. And so I love to hear from you. And if you will, send me your thoughts and your comments by clicking on contact at kevinsmithshow.com. Tomorrow night, we're going to step into a realm that is in the world of the strange and unexplained. We've never stepped into it before. Has to do with pharmaceutical cannabis and some people who say they have a cure for cancer or at least that's my understanding of it.